As quickly as she could, she aimed herself at that part of the wreckage and was soon floating directly over it.
"Approach the hull surface and place your hand against it."
"How will this help you analyze the thing?" she said. "Why not just take a few pictures or whatever your equivalent is?"
"It will serve my purposes and my curiosity."
She drifted towards the flat surface, which was mostly a dark grey with metallic blue bands crossing part of it. She was facing an area with a block of what she assumed to be instructions in Sendrukan. She reached out her strange, milkily opaque hand and touched the flat greyness with her fingertips, then her whole palm.
"Well, I hope this is helping somehow."
Suddenly, she was enveloped by meshes of light, misty braids coiling around her and up and around the wreckage, swathing it in shining bands. Catriona was frozen in place, unable to move, but sensing a build-up of something powerful. The shining braids began to brighten. Everything seemed to tremble, and there was a dazzling burst of light and an abrupt moment of tranquility, an instant of perfect silence, before a plunge into darkness, impressions of shadows, great trunks, masses of greenery, vine-woven mossy curtains. She was back in Sigrana. And, before her, hanging in mid-air, that immense slab of wreckage with her hand still pressed against it.
"Release. Release it."
A second of incredulity, of mystification, of realization, then she snatched her hand away. The wreckage fell from her, smashing several trees into splinters, before it struck the ground with a deafening crash. Chapter 22. Greg. It was only a 15-minute hop from the Retributor to the Starfire, but Greg's head was full of details from the meeting, and he just couldn't relax. The summary of the Starfire's weaponry seemed meagre in the light of the Imisil Commander Ramoska's revelation on the size of the Hegemony Armada. Hundreds of warships, among which there would be more carriers like the Bakarith Zoe, capable of fielding scores of interceptors, drones, smart missiles, a veritable cascade of war machines rushing towards them. Greg had projected a kind of cavalier optimism mingled with anger and defiance, mainly because he did not want to face his own despair. As he sat listening to Commander Ramoska laying out the bleak realities, something that Uncle Teo once said came back to him. "A ship tied up in the harbour is safe, but is that what ships are for?" It was a folksy little saying, but its nugget of wisdom was clear. He had once told the Tigran Ash that while Darien was worth fighting for, it was the people who were worth dying for. The gathering had agreed unanimously to stand their ground. Greg just hoped that the dying part would be slow to arrive. Now sitting in the Retributor's pilotless shuttle pod, a short-range craft on loan from the Raug, apparently, his thoughts turned to the situation on the planet's surface. There had been several attempts to establish contact with the human rebels at Tusk Mountain, but all effective channels were being jammed. The source of the jamming was mainly Giant's Shoulder, which wasn't such a surprise now that the Legion agent and its combat droids were in control of the place. But Ash was not seeing the break in communication as an immediate crisis and wouldn't authorize a shuttle journey to the surface. Nor would he order a bombardment of the giant shoulder defenses on the grounds that it might provoke retaliation, which they could do without in the hours ahead.